Guys, we're continuing on this, asking the question, who is Jesus? And Jesus has seven statements in Scripture that start with, I am. And so we're going to spend the next several weeks going through who Jesus says he is. These are not statements that others said about him. This is who Jesus said he was of himself. And so I wanted to start this morning and just paint a picture for you on what today's I am statement is. How many of you have ever been locked out of your car? How many of you have been locked out of your house? Has that ever happened, right? Have you ever tried the wrong key in a lock? There's confusion that happens when that key doesn't fit and you know it's the right key, right? Or worse, have you been locked in somewhere? Have you ever been locked in somewhere? See, down in Kansas City, when I worked for Credit Acceptance, we went into a breakout room. Does anybody know what a breakout room is? So I was in one, and they put handcuffs on me. Do you know that if you push both buttons on your Apple Watch long enough, it calls 911?
Oh.
Guess who was handcuffed? And 911 was on the phone in a breakout room. Okay. So there's some fun. That was fun to explain. But anyway, handcuffs came off pretty quick because we didn't need 911 showing up. But here's what being locked out of things or locked in or something not unlocking the way you expect it to. It leaves you feeling frustrated, unsafe, maybe disoriented, and sometimes full of anxiety. Because the door is not working the way it is supposed to. And a couple of actual stories, well, that wasn't actually, but stories I actually put in my sermon today. I remember when Caleb was a baby, we were going out to John and Teresa's house just to see them. He was young.
It was Alicia's birthday.
Huh?
It was Alicia's birthday, like 2 months old.
I should have talked to them before service. We pull up to John and Teresa's in our white Chevy Tahoe. And for whatever reason, keys were left in the car. And I locked it on the way out. And we had all the doors shut. And Caleb was locked in the back seat. Mm-hmm. In his car seat. In August. It's hot. I found a giant rock in their driveway. I was like, yeah, I'm ready to bust that car wide open to get him out. And he was sleeping. He had no idea. So we called the non-emergency number. And there was actually a sheriff's deputy that was very close that came and jimmied the door for us to get him out. But put yourself in that situation. Parental instincts kick in overdrive all day. Don't do anything to protect that child. And that's where I was. And panic just instantly set in. Because I'm like, I just locked my child in the car. And it's 90 degrees outside. And then I remember another door in my life. But really, this door we're going to call a lid with a latch. My sister and I, this would have been back in, I would have been 3 years old. Because we moved. We moved in 1991 from the blue house in Callender to the brown house in Callender. If you guys have no reference what that means, just stick with me for the story here. We had this old chest. It's probably yay tall, that wide. It's a pretty, the one that's underneath Dad's workbench in the basement now full of all the hats and gloves. You know which one I'm talking about? I'll show you the next time we're there. That used to be our toy chest in our closet. When we were kids, we shared a room, my sister and I did. And in with that where we kept all of our loose toys. Who knows if you can get a kid a box and they can be entertained for hours. We would dump the toys out of that chest, take turns climbing in it, and the sibling shutting the door, or shutting the lid, and then sitting on it until they were ready to come out. Me being the nice little brother that I am, when it was my sister's turn to get in, I thought, I'll just move this latch right here. I locked her in the chest. And if you can envision these old chests with those latches, they get hard to move. I could not, for the life of me, get it open. I literally locked my sister in the toy chest. At this time, who remembers corded phones? The long spiral, you could stretch it 30 yards. You walk around the corner and make sure mom's not listening instead of the 3 foot one that, the 20 foot, everybody know, right? I could not get her out of that chest to save my life. I ran out into the kitchen and I tried to get my mom's attention. She was on the phone, she wasn't having it. I'm like, my sister's gonna die any minute now because she's locked in that chest. So I did what any responsible young man would do, is I grabbed a chair from the kitchen table, pulled it over to the counter, climbed up on the counter, and hung up the phone. And I said, there's an emergency that needs your attention. I don't know if that's what I said, Doug, but I'm sure it was. So anyway, she come running, she got the latch open, she got my sister out, and I just say that I don't know who was more scared of the door not opening, my sister stuck in the chest, or me, the dum-dum that locked her in the chest. I was scared for my hind end, is what I was scared for, right? Because I locked her in the chest, and so I was the one that trapped her. And I say all of this to get to the point of where we're going today. Doors matter. This is Jesus' next I am statement that we're looking at. Now, let's look at what doors, sometimes they separate us from what we need. Sometimes we have to walk through the door because on the other side is what we need. Sometimes they trap us. They keep us away from what we need. It'd rather keep us in fear, keep us separated from where we need to go. But every once in a while in our lives, the right door opens and changes everything. This is the hope that we have. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is the day that heaven flung the door wide open and poured His Spirit out upon the believers. When the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts 2, we opened in Acts 2 this morning. It didn't just make the people feel good. It gave them power, it gave them boldness, and it gave them purpose. Do you lack any of those today? Because the Holy Spirit is the one to come in and give you that. But listen, before the fire could fall, guess what? The door had to open. The door had to make way. Jesus said, and we're going to find this, turn yourself to John chapter 10 this morning. Jesus said this, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Now, I think we can all agree today that Jesus isn't one of many doors. He is the only door that saves, secures, and sends. Sends, like sends out, not sin as in you committed a sin, but He sends us. So let's open to John chapter 10, starting with verse 1 this morning through verse 10, and it'll be on the overhead as well. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech that Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said again to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. We're going to focus on verse 9 today. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Who's heard that verse? We all have heard that. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So before we dive into the points that I have for today, I want to talk about some contextual background. Things that matter to bring a light where this was and how this impacts. John chapter 10 is a continuation from John chapter 9. And John chapter 9, it's a confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees. Why? Because Jesus healed a blind man. who was born blind from birth. And so these Pharisees, at the end of chapter 9, they threw the blind man out of their presence because they said to him, "Who are you to lecture us?" The blind man just received healing from his Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Pharisees wanted nothing to do with it. They kicked him out of their presence. So at the end of chapter 9 and here at the beginning of chapter 10, we see that Jesus is responding by revealing himself as the true door to salvation and life. Now, why does this matter? Why would he talk about the door and the sheep and all of this? So the idea of a door or a sheepfold, this is where the sheep were stayed at or kept at. But why did he tie it together? Here's the cultural insight that I can share with you. Ancient sheepfolds had a single opening, one way in, one way out. That's it. There was no other way to get in. And so at night, the shepherd of the flock would literally lie down across the entrance of the sheepfold, becoming the door themselves. They became the literal door that protected the sheep from thieves and predators. Effectively, the shepherd's body became the door. It was the barrier from the outside to the inside. It was only through the shepherd that anyone or anything could enter or exit. Are you starting to see a picture get painted here? This is why Jesus says, "I am the door." This statement is exclusive and universal. Because Jesus says, anyone may enter, doesn't he? Anyone can enter, not just a select few, not just you who were in church on Sunday. Anyone may enter. But here's where the exclusivity comes from. But it's only through him that you may enter. It's not by another means. He doesn't just merely show us the way. He is the way. He is the way. And our focus, I already said, our focus is going to land on verse 9 today. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Our first point this morning. The door is Jesus alone. The door is Jesus. If we take the first part of verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters, is this not on? Have I been talking this whole time about
this thing on? Everybody heard me fine, didn't ya? Sermon's only going to be halfway recorded now. Maybe we don't need a projection tonight at the park. I don't know. Norm's sitting back here waving me the whole time. I thought he was just really friendly today. It wasn't. You have my permission to interrupt to tell me to turn on the microphone, okay? I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. As a result of walking through the door, guess what? You will experience victory over sin, you will experience victory over guilt and condemnation, and you will have all you need to serve God and His purposes. Walking through the door, which is Jesus, frees us from a life of shame and into a life of purpose. Jesus doesn't just show us the way. We must understand that He is the way. Say that with me today. He is the way. He is the way. He is the only way. How many of us have heard, "Well, I believe I'll go to heaven if I'm good enough"? My grandma went to church, so, and I know she prayed over me. Do you know that that is big down in the South? They believe they're getting into heaven based off of their grandparents' faith. Listen, when it comes time, Caleb and Caden, they're standing right next to me in front of the throne of God. They're not standing behind me in my shadow of my faith. They have to account for their own. Does that paint a visual for you? They have to stand on their own two feet. There are no side doors. There are not different paths to take. It's not religion. It's not denomination. It's not about effort. God doesn't care about your effort. If He did, we'd have a long list of all the things that we need to work hard enough to gain His approval. And listen, if you're in here working, thinking that's how you're going to be saved, let's just put some... It is by grace alone. So if you're out here working yourself to the bone, thinking that's how you're getting into heaven, stop it. Stop it right now. It is through faith in Jesus Christ and receiving His grace, period. We do not have to be slaves of good effort because Jesus never told us to. It is through faith. So it has nothing to do with our effort. It has nothing to do with being good enough. Scripture makes it clear. It's only Jesus. Only Jesus. And I have scriptures to back that up. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does He say? No one comes to me, or to the Father, I should practice what I'm saying, except through me. Not through your good effort, not through me being good enough. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other name. It is but Jesus alone. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. It is Jesus alone. So Jesus' words, as He's sharing and He's calling out the Pharisees for their hypocrisy, Jesus' words cut straight through the cultural confusion that there was. Even today He does. This idea of multiple gods, multiple paths, or being good enough. These are lies that Satan will use to convince people that they can say this to justify self. But there comes a day when there's a reconciliation that we have to deal with. It is by Jesus alone. Have I gotten that point across this morning? It is Jesus alone and Him only. Because we cannot justify ourselves, can we? We can't. Because what do we instantly do? Think about this. As you were a kid and you did something bad, like locking your sister in a chest, when punishment comes, do we not try to justify our position? Because we want to minimize the potential of discipline. Are you following me this morning? Jesus just goes ahead and tells us, you're not good enough without me. There is no justification on our part. We will always fall short. And in this culture today, in this crazy mixed up upside down world that we call home for this time being, many people think that Jesus is only for the elected, for the few. But there are many paths, that there's not just. Let's go back to this, though. Jesus invites anyone to come to Him. Anyone. Not just your good neighbor, not the neighbor that you like, not the neighbor that doesn't do whatever that makes you frustrated. He says anyone. But the only way is through Him. So instead of standing near the door, as maybe somebody is in here today, we're in church, we talk about Jesus, maybe we know some about Him, but we've never really fully embraced this personal relationship with Him. Let me encourage you today to walk through that door. Walk through it this morning. Stop flirting with faith and enter fully into it. The door is an invitation to walk through. But you cannot walk through short of Jesus. That's it. Period. Jesus is the only way. Our second point that I'd like to point out today, the door protects. And if we look at the second half of the verse, he will go in and out and find pasture. In Jesus, we can rest assured, not only are we saved, but we're also safe. Pasture, in this context, means daily spiritual nourishment, peace, and rest. And I have scriptures to back this up. Psalms chapter 23, verses 1 through 3.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Who knows this? I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalms 91, verses 1 through 12. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. And then Ezekiel chapter 34, 14 and 15. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. So a life filled with Jesus, a life filled with the Spirit, isn't chaotic. It isn't unsecure. It is secure. It is a door that protects the sheep that are inside. And Jesus gives us the freedom to move in and out, meaning going about life, doing life. But when we walk through the door, we step in under his care, and we can move about without fear. So the door protects. So I'm going to encourage us today, stop running to empty fields. Hear what I'm saying there. Stop running to empty fields, but instead, stay in the pasture that the Lord provides. Step into peace. Step into his provision that only Christ provides when we, what? When we walk through the door. Our third and final point today. The door leads to a Spirit-filled life. Today is Pentecost Sunday. The day that Jesus imparted his Spirit, he tells us, there's scripture that I'm going to share, but he set this up. He told them, my Spirit is coming. I have to go away so I can sin. Today's the day that Jesus imparted his Spirit on the church. Today's the day that he empowered his church. And guess what? Today, he still empowers his church. John chapter 10, verse 9, actually also leads us to Acts chapter 2. Because entering the door, guess what? Walking through the door of Jesus unlocks the life of the Spirit. We can't have the Spirit without Jesus, can we? Walking through the door unlocks the life of the Spirit. Jesus doesn't save you from something. And when you say the door protects, he's not just saving us from something. But guess what? He saves you for something. That's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, also called baptism in the Holy Spirit. He has a plan for each one of us. He has empowerment for every one of us. It is through him. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the power behind your purpose. Who knows that we can't go out and change lives? It's God. It is through his Holy Spirit. It is through his direction, his leading, him working on the hearts of the people. So our purpose has no purpose without the power of the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, 38 through 39. It says this, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Verse 39, "For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Guess who that is? Those who walk through the door. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 39, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" Well, how does that make sense? We'll read the next verse. "Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus had to be glorified before the Spirit. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, "And because you are sons or daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" See, the very same door, Jesus is the door. He says, "I am the door." So when I say door, what you should be hearing is Jesus. Door, Jesus, Jesus, door. We got it? The very same door that leads to salvation also leads to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has so much more for us than just forgiveness of sins. If that's all you're seeking from Jesus, that's all you're going to get, and it's going to be mundane. When we step in to his empowerment is when we find our purpose. So this morning, I want to encourage you, don't just seek Jesus for salvation. Ask Jesus to fill you with his Spirit today. That door is open. When you walk through that door, it's Jesus. He is inviting you. And the question is will you walk in? Will you walk in? Jesus says, "I am the door." And I'm here to tell you that that's not just a poetic thing that he was saying. It's practical. It's for us today, because it is through him that we're saved. It is through him that we are safe, and it is through him that we are sent. Today, Pentecost Sunday reminds us that Jesus just didn't open the door so you could get in. He opened the door so the Spirit could pour out and send you out. Emma, if you want to make your way up. We are Engaged Church. And engaging our community for Jesus is what our mission is. Understand this. It does not happen by human effort. Engaging our community for Jesus will never seem like enough, will never seem like we're doing enough, or we don't know what we're doing. It will never be enough by human effort. It will excel when Spirit-filled people live on mission. How many of you have heard me talk about our sphere of influence? A couple weeks ago, I asked everybody, or maybe it was last week, that one name. What's that one name that you would like to see come to Jesus before the end of this summer? Does anybody remember the name of the person? Or does anybody remember that moment? We all have a sphere of influence, that there are people that only you from this church will come into contact with. That one person, that one name, that's who Jesus wants you to focus on this summer. That's the person that Jesus is saying, "I'm entrusting them to you. They are in your sphere of influence. What are you going to do with them?" Understand this, it is not by your power, but by Jesus' power that can happen. So what's your responsibility? To start praying over that name. To start asking the Holy Spirit to give you opportunity to open up words of the gospel, to reach out, to extend an olive branch, to create a relationship with them, where there comes a day, and listen, I hate to tell you this. 8 weeks, we're back in school. That's a huge bummer on this guy's part, okay? I think summer should be 9 months and school should be 3. Hear, hear. Let's make a motion, right? Sorry, Tip, you're overruled. But let's put some perspective to that. We're 8 weeks. There's an opportunity that within the next 8 weeks that this church can celebrate that one person being walking through the door. Come on. Who's the one? Who's the one? Trying to make eye contact with everybody who's at least looking up this way. Who's the one? We have one. Start praying. Start asking the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to speak truth over that person. Because listen, there's nothing more that I want to happen than to celebrate that person with you. And I know everybody else in here says the same thing. So if you would this morning, would you stand to your feet, close your eyes? This is just a time for response for us. All of us in here. First and foremost, know that the most important thing is to walk through that door, to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus. And listen, that door, it's still open for now. There comes a day when that door is going to be closed, Doug. There comes a day when Jesus says, this is it, this is final. Don't let your opportunity get past you because you said, I'll wait until I'm good enough. Listen, Jesus never said, get good, then come. He says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are heavy, laden and heavy burden, and you will find rest. That door is open today for the lost. It's open for the broken. It is open for those that are burnt out, for the hungry, for the hurting. He said, if anyone enters by me, they will be saved. That's you. That's me. That's everybody. That's everyone that we know. But understand, there's only one door. There's only one response. Lord Jesus, I need you. So the invitation includes all of us today. It's not about being good enough. It's not about trying harder. It's about simply trusting that Jesus is enough to walk through the door today. So if that's you this morning, if you stood next to the door but never walked through the door, today's your day to take that step through the door. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand and say, hey, I'm raising my hand as a sign to say I am walking through that door this morning. Is there anybody in here today? Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else? Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what does it say? You will be saved. It is not about a prayer that I lead you through, so we're not even going to pray today. It is your heart's response before the Lord today, saying, Jesus, I need you. I know that I am a sinner. I know that there is forgiveness of sins in you. So please forgive my sins. And I call you Savior and Lord. That's it. So church, we're not looking for a super spiritual moment at this point. But there was one person who said, I am walking through that door today. Listen, there's one name. Who's the next name? Who's the next name? Who's the next name? Come on. Who's the next name that's going to respond? Come and walk through that door. And as we close today, you know that we always open the altar. We invite you to come forward. And here's what we're going to do today. It is Pentecost. I do believe that the Holy Spirit is still active today in His church as He was on the day of Pentecost. I believe that if you're running dry, if you're fighting battles today, you don't have power that you need to fight it. Or maybe you've just lost that power and you need a fresh filling. As the worship team plays, I believe Emma's just got something she's just going to play for us and create that atmosphere of worship for us. But Pentecost Sunday reminds us that the door is opened. to the Spirit-filled life. And so today I'm going to encourage you to seek after Jesus, to ask Jesus to fill you, to empower you, to use you. This is what Pentecost is all about, the empowering of the saints for the business of the gospel. And so today I just want to encourage you to lean into his presence. I want you to find a spot to worship, come to the altar, seek the Lord. And listen, this is for the worship team as well. If you want to respond, put that microphone down. We don't need to. Emma can just play. We can turn on music. I don't care. I invite you to come to the altar. Seek after the Lord above all else and ask him to fill, to empower, and to use you. If that's you this morning, would you make your way to the altar? Would you make your way? Would you step out and say, that is me today. This is what I am leaning on Jesus for. That you're looking for, a fresh move of God's Spirit in your life. Listen, this isn't just for those who say, hey, I want to have a Spirit baptism moment. I want Jesus to fill me and to use me more than he ever has. Maybe we're coming up here today and we're saying, Lord, I need more of you. I need more of you in my life. I need more of your presence, more of your Spirit. Lord, I desire more of you in every moment of every day. Could we just fill the altar in response by saying, Lord, I need more of your Spirit in my life. If that's you today, make your way to the front as well.